As we walk this journey called life, we seek to find those things that bring joy to our existence. We want to embrace love, desire, and passion through healthy human connections. We want and need to discover meaning to the steps we take daily, the challenges of breaking barriers stir up our spirit as we prove our individual importance. The value of life is precious as we assist others to discover their way. The legacy of our being is found in the donations we make in those outside of ourselves. Success in this journey takes focus and commitment to winning. The victory is in not allowing fractured beliefs of the masses to impact the rules we have made work for ourselves. This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection. We come to you 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m., Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and Sunday at 8:30 Eastern Time. We have a platform for your voice to be heard loud and clear and unfiltered. It is time that we speak for ourselves so that others completely understand the direction we want our country to go in. No longer can we sit on the sidelines and allow others to select our direction. It is time for people of color to use the internet to make sure their voices are heard beyond a couple of streets. Our thoughts and needs and desires need to be heard around the world. And Thoughts, Love, and Reflection is that platform that you can be assured that your thoughts and feelings will be respected and heard without challenge. It is time for us to come together and make sure that we're not left behind. This is your host, James T. Deshaies, looking forward to have you call in to the show at 657-383-0309. 7 days a week, we want to be heard loud and clear.
USI never had it so good. 101.1 radio, the best R&B and hip hop music. The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good radio now on 101.1, and it's 24/7, the world's best radio station.
This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. As always, you know I'm proud and happy to be here, to be given the opportunity to share a conversation with those of you who are out there and come to some conclusions and solutions related to the things that impact our lives now and in the future. I'm going to play a little something as we wait for everybody to get called in so that we can start our conversation today.
Thank you. every time we hear the music. And feel if this love together, we got the time that lasts forever.
This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. Joyce, I am so happy and pleased to see you out there. We've missed you, and I hope that you truly enjoyed your trip to Florida. And it is just so good and warming to my heart that I had the chance to meet you. And now, are you back home?
Yes, I am, and I had a nice trip. It was a great trip to Florida. Get to see family and friends. So it was very enjoyable. Thank you.
Yeah, we spoke to with Audrey, and we talked yesterday about how important it is to make those kinds of things happen so that they are forever in your memory bank. You know that you did all that you could do in order to make sure that family knew how important they were.
Oh, definitely. We make it an annual event, something that is mandatory to me. It's just, I think we live so far apart, and it's just far too many times that we don't get together. So we make it our business to take advantage of getting together at least once a year to make it a very memorable experience.
Yeah, and we hope those of us who are out there in the audience recognize the joy that you and Audrey got from the experience, and they try to make that something that they can implement into their own families. How are you doing this evening, Dee?
Hello? I'm doing just fine, family. How are you doing? And how you doing, George? Long time no hear from.
Thank you. Same to you.
Thank you.
Glad to be here today.
Well, guys, I'm going to share something with you. You know, technology is always moving forward, and we are always dealing with the new kinds of things that we're able to do with technology, and it's always giving us a lot of advantages. But with all the advantages of technology, there comes some disadvantages as well. And I saw today that there are people who are now asking or feeling like the live streaming is going too far, that it gives the people in the world too many opportunities to show ugly and humiliating things to the world without there being some kind of filter. I'm sure that you are aware that a couple of weeks ago that a gentleman was murdered on Facebook, as well as there was a story of a young girl being raped and it uploaded on Facebook. And so today we want to talk about, there are many, many people who are uploading videos that are just showing their families and happy times. A lot of people are using it to share God's word. And there are, the majority of the people out there who are using Facebook are using it for the proper reason. And now we find ourselves in a situation where there are people who are out there doing despicable things and using these new technologies in order to impact people outside of themselves. So we want to talk today about, you know, how do we, I guess, defend ourselves from the evil that exists when new technology is introduced? Or is it something that we just have to learn to deal with? Dee, what is your thoughts in terms of, do you think Facebook has an obligation now to possibly remove live streaming? Or what are your thoughts? Hold on. Looks like I lost Dee. George, what are your thoughts? Do you think they need to remove it, or is it just we're gonna have to be able to just deal with some people misusing it?
I think it can be controlled better than what it is. You know, Facebook is probably making a lot of money, so when you come money, there should be a lot of obligation that comes with it. So I think that things need to be in place. They should have the capability to intercede things before they even hit the internet, you see. It's according to what they want to represent. So that can be, I think, easily controlled. I was listening at some former Obama's speech on yesterday, and he had indicated that Facebook, actually communication through your cell phone, and all the technologies out there, that's one reason negatively that we didn't get where we should have politically, because where we used to form groups and have different opinions, whereas this internet is so out of control with communications that they're always giving biased, negative, and a lot of times wrong information. So Facebook got to do a better job than what they're doing as far as controlling. Who wants to see stuff like this? Because to me, that's planting a seed and putting negative ideas in other people's mind, because they're always going to be a person that want to be one up on what you just saw. You see what I mean? They want to take it to a different level. So Facebook's got to control it. It can be controlled. They have the technology to put it out there for everyone to communicate and see. They have the capability of controlling what we see and how we see that. So it's got to be better controlled than what it is. That's my personal opinion.
Well, the people from Facebook originally said that once they received the phone calls about this despicable video being on, then they took the steps necessary to bring it down and to close it down. And it took about 2 hours for the people to call it in, and I think it took less than an hour for them to take it down. But we know that this is going to continue. And one of the things we have to ask ourselves, and I want to just ask all of you, is that, see, some people use it for the right reasons. We remember when the lady did a live stream of her husband, excuse me, her boyfriend being shot, and that was violent, and it was just horrific to see him in such pain. But she was doing it to record the actions of the police. So how are we going to distinguish between the good use of it when a horrific thing is being shown and the bad use of it when a horrific thing is being shown? Diaz, what is your thoughts about how are we going to control this new technology that allows us to show videos so quickly and can be so evil?
Well, James, as you continue to talk, I kind of changed my opinion about what I was going to say. Initially, what I was going to say is that, you know, throughout criminal history, you check some of the FBI files, criminals, they have a tendency to appreciate the crime being done when they have an audience. You can look at some of the serial killers that went down in history, Ted Bundy, Son of Sam, Zodiac Killer. All these killers would almost taunt the media and law enforcement because they thought that they couldn't be caught. And so they enjoyed the audience. And in that, the social media live streaming gives them an opportunity to do just that. But when you went on to continue your talk and bring about the fact that the social media has had some good references to it, especially when we've had these incidents with law enforcement being on the cynical side, would stop motorists for no reason and just try to pad their pockets depending on what area of the United States you live in. And I've seen more streaming where the victim or the motorist would actually use their cell phone knowing that this is the way that you can have documentation of what's being said and what's being done. You know that now a lot of law enforcement are required to have body cams, but it's been said that that's quite expensive. So everybody, all law enforcement, all counties don't have that, but everybody has a cell phone. So that works out to the good of the citizen. So it's I guess it's a catch 22. You damn if you do, you damn if you don't, and that's the situation that we seem to be in at this time.
Yeah, you know, we find ourselves in a real tough spot because, again, in the two cases that I know of, in the case with the rape and the case where the man was shot, you wish you could keep that kind of material from being viewed on Facebook. But we've had so many cases where crimes by government and law enforcement has been brought to the light that we need to recognize that as a citizen, sometimes I'm more alert about trying to make sure if I see something that I'm in a position to videotape it so that there is some prosperity and realization to what it is that I may find there to be some issues about. And so every time new technology comes up, somebody's going to find a way to abuse it. And so we have to ask ourselves, you know, I don't know if you can really defend yourself in this fashion because Facebook has become such a major part of everybody's existence right now, and it has done some very positive things. I'm not sure if you all are not aware, when we talk about technology, a husband has been charged with killing his wife, and her Fitbit, which was on her arm, recorded a different set of circumstances related to her day than what the husband said happened. And because of that, he was being charged because they could tell that she was alive later than what he said. And so the technology does help in a lot of ways, but how do we keep it from being used in ugly ways? RJ, what are your thoughts in terms of this technology and how people are live streaming and uploading videos of some horrific activities?
Well, terrific Tuesday to all. And you are right, technology is at its most advanced state. And I do believe that companies should have some ownership of censoring. And what I mean by that is I'm sure technology is capable of scanning, if you would, different entries so that it can be programmed such that if something is out of character, that would help, you know, these major companies to be able to identify things a little quicker than depending on viewers to report it. It is some responsibility and accountability that the companies should take and take ownership of. But it comes down to the individual. Of course, just like, you know, people will rob a bank or a store or whatever the case may be, they make those choices. But we do have to put up some barriers, not necessarily to stop, because if it's a thief, a thief will keep working at it until they get, you know, steal what it is that they want. But we do take steps to put things in place. That's the reason why we have, you know, alarm systems. We have technology such that we can view, you can view who's at your door even if you're miles away. So technology is there to benefit us. Surely some people will take advantage of it and use it for misbehavior, but again, we have to keep using technology for good.
And it's important that you bring that up. We know that the way that things are working, everything is moving forward, and it's very difficult to stop it. And in some instances, technology has taken a lot of things that used to be commonplace away from us, but now we enjoy a lot of different other things. And what I mean by that, I remember when I had an issue with having not receiving my paper check, that somehow I thought Big Brother was going to demand that I get direct deposit and not have my check given to me in my hand. And so, you know, and in a lot of sense, a lot of people may not have bank accounts or didn't want their bank to know how much money they were getting every 2 weeks because it was something they were trying to hide. Well, now we are going toward a day where you may not even have cash anymore. That there's so many ways to purchase things and transact business where actual money might be a thing of the past. And one of the positive things I see about that is maybe that would reduce a lot of robberies. If you didn't have money, you were paying with your credit card, your debit card, or your cell phone, your smartphone, or whatever ways you were able to pay or take care of your business. But we got to the point where we didn't have dollar bills. Man, the people trying to rob people would be out of gas. Joyce, in that way, technology seems to be making life safer. What do you think about that?
Well, you're absolutely right, because they predicted within the next 20 years that there will be no form of banking the way that we bank and see banks now as far as real money. It would be, everything would be done through the system and plastic. Going back what Audrey had indicated, I think there's a way that everything can be filtered or delayed so many seconds or minutes. You're still recording the information, but it's a delayed filter on that for these companies like Facebook, Google, or whatever that's out there that is holding, that can hold accountability. There should be some type of delayed filter, but yet record everything that is needed. That will allow us to view what is good for us to see and what isn't. And sexual assault, murder, things like that, that should be triggered all automatically with a delayed reaction. And then at that point, turn it over to authority to determine whether or not that should be seen over the internet. We do have the capability. It just companies don't want to spend what is needed to put in place to really to be held accountable. And technology, the way that it is, we have brilliant minds out there that can do certain things to prevent what we see and how we see things without violating our rights.
All right, we're at a half, 30 minutes have gone, and we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back to continue our conversation.
We got it together, didn't we? We've definitely got our thing together, don't we? Isn't that nice? I mean, really, when you really sit and think about it, isn't it really, really nice? I can easily feel myself slipping more and more away into that super world of my own. Nobody but you and me. We've got it together, baby.
Because you are a part of a corporate organization, were there any pushback when companies wanted to go to all direct deposit with no paper check whatsoever? And this new technology where companies wanted to avoid and save on paper and and the record keeping was much more, I guess, much more efficient. And so they wanted to encourage all of their employees to go to direct deposit.
There were some resistance initially. Just with anything, people are resistant to change. And similar to your response, people wanted to make sure that they had control, if you would, of their money. So the company took a period of time in which they allowed people to, you know, enroll, if you would. And once that deadline was met and people still didn't want it, then they took away incentives, if you would, and then eventually it became mandatory. So to answer your question, yes, some people resisted it, but as we know now, you know, direct deposit is more convenient. It's a less expensive way for companies to complete their payroll process. But again, when they initiated the program, they tried to make sure that they featured the highlights of it, you know, that you'll be able to see your money deposited quicker, less opportunity of having an error, you know, quickly being able to have access to your funds, those type of things. So the majority of the people were on board. It was just some of the ones that, like you said, they wanted to have more control over their funds. Some people were, just because of the generational age group, they preferred to just kind of not go that path. But eventually everybody, now is just, that's just the way it is. Time you come on board, you don't have an option. It's direct deposit.
And, Dee, what are your thoughts about the fact that Big Brother just seems to be able to push technology on us and do it or don't, but this is how it's going to be, and you, in some instances, you won't have a job if you don't get a go along with the program.
Well, that's one of those things where I actually speak about where a person have to be adaptable, got to be flexible in this thing called life. I got a cousin that lives in a certain part of Georgia, and he's kind of stuck in a certain era in life. He's stuck in the 70s, and he still wear clothes of the 70s and things of that sort. And so one has to be flexible and adaptable to maintain and to advance in life. But I want to touch back real quick about what we were saying about the live streaming. And the technology behind that. You know, law enforcement depend heavily on the ignorance, if I may say that, of some people when it comes to live streaming. You remember the man, the mentally challenged man that was abused and tortured by these three or four individuals as they live streamed it, and it was induced by marijuana and all and everything else. And they actually streamed it and put their faces right into the stream. Also, law enforcement have been able to pick people out in large crowds that vandalize and riot. And by going back due to the live streaming of persons with cell phones, they was able to make arrests due to that fact. So it has its advantages, and that's just the way it is.
And you're right, and that's one instance. That's one of the reasons why I think it's going to be a hard sell to try to make us move in reverse related to taking live streaming down. There are many people who are always going to try to find a way to take advantage of good technology. But we have to be ready and prepared to move forward, because there's so many positive things that may come out of the new technology. You know, I'm amazed at the fact that, again, we may find ourselves not using cash, and that's going to get rid of those people who are out there robbing people, because I don't believe we wanted to kidnap you to take you to your ATM machine. and make you use your eyes to open your account. And so whereas they may force you to give them four digits, if there is some part of your anatomy that is used to open up your account, they may not be interested in adding kidnapping onto a regular burglary or robbery charge. And so there is a lot of good coming out of technology. Well, we have to deal with the fact that some people are going to misuse the technology and do some despicable things on Facebook. Regina, let me ask you, because you've done some live streaming on Facebook and of showing us some of the parks and beautiful areas in Colombia. What are your thoughts about some people saying that Facebook is needs to take a step back related to this live streaming or video uploading?
I think any technology has its pros and its cons. Since I'm not one that uses it in a negative way, then I don't think that, and it hasn't affected me or my family in a negative way, then it's not something that I think should disappear. I really can't comment on anything else because it hasn't affected me. Now, if it had affected my family in a negative way, then I probably would think differently.
Well, you know, we were discussing it because people are, after a couple of weeks after the man had killed this gentleman, innocent gentleman, walking down the street, and then there being a rape of a young girl that was on Facebook, that people are now saying, you know, what is it or what should we require Facebook to do? And ultimately, Facebook says that it gets its, you know, it gets, when people notify them of things that are inappropriate, then they take action. And outside of that, we don't really know what it is that we can ask them to do, because there's so many people are enjoying the technology to record their families, to record incidents that we want people to visualize when it's misbehaving of police officers and other things of that nature. And we're inundated by change and technology all the time. So we just have to ask ourselves, you know, can technology really go too far? Joyce?
Well, I know that I've seen Cancer Center, I've seen people using the Facebook Live to you know, to record when a person rings the bell for their last chemo treatment. And it's a difference in having that live and feeling that excitement and seeing that excitement instantaneously than seeing pictures. So that's a positive way that it's used, and I would hate for that piece of that plus to go away. I really would. I'm sorry that other people are making it bad for the good people.
Joyce, let me ask you, in terms of technology, is there any technology that you feel is going too far and we need to put the brakes on it? Or are you, for the most part, pleased with corporate America continuing to push technology forward?
I'm very pleased with it. It's changed up the times. That let us know where we're going with our next generation. What I do believe also is that technology has a way of catching up with itself, too. I think with the advancement and technology, everything that is new, it shoots out there way ahead before you have control of it. So I think that what is going on with the technology, it's going to have a way of catching up with with itself to put things, barriers in place to really regulate it the way that it should be regulated. But as far as technology, what's new out there, what's being presented, we need that. This is where the world is coming from in order to compete. You know, we have to look at where we come from electricity, for coal or whatever. So if we were to put the brakes, where would we be? So this is our next generation as far as technology. You just have some brilliant minds that's trying to outtrick what needs to be done. But I think the catch-up is going to take place, and all those good things that we see as far as what we're able to see right away and experience, communication, what is going on, I think that it is a need for it, and this is where we're going for our next generation. So I'm definitely for the technology that is available out there to us.
Andre, let me ask you, and again, I always pick on you because you're such a major part of corporate America. You know, a few weeks ago, I saw where they're actually looking at getting rid of the debit card by inserting information under the skin and having the ability to read people's medical records by something that they can put under the skin. Are we really ready to deal with having that kind of technology? I mean, when you get sick, you do want people to know right away what your medical records are, your medical needs. But are we ready to put account information up under our skin?
Yes, I think we are, and I think Joy said it well. This technology that we're in is just a platform for where we are in the future, and if we reflect back from where we've come, at any given time, someone along the way may have disagreed with us moving. And you just stated right there in your statement the positive for it. In the event of an emergency, we know time is precious and it's critical. So the more we know and be accurate about it, because I'm thinking that chip would be updated if indeed your doctor changed your medication so that it, whatever happened, you wouldn't have to be fumbling for it. You wouldn't have to be guessing for it. We know that it's accurate. It's right there. You mentioned a part of your body being able to utilize the ATM. If a part of my body is being positioned to be used to withdraw or deposit money or whatever, I surely would want another part of my body to be able to assist me in any medical situation. So ready or not, here we come. It goes back to what D said, we have to be flexible and adaptable.
And it's pretty amazing. It seems to be nonstop. It's as though that there's nothing you can do about it. There's nothing you can say. Technology is going to move forward. It's going to create a lot of positive opportunities. But there are going to be some people who are going to be out there using it for the wrong reasons. And certainly we just have to be prepared to deal with those kinds of situations. I'm having a little difficulty getting everybody on. I'm not sure what the problem is. But one of the things that we have to do is keep in understanding that we want to make sure that whatever we're doing is morally correct. You know, a lot of times when we're dealing with technology and dealing with what new doctors are trying to do, we want to make sure that it has some moral basis and doesn't cross any immoral lines that we want to keep control of. And recognize the way that we've been living. I'm trying to reset everything so I get everybody back. Regina, what are your thoughts in regard to making sure technology doesn't cross any moral lines that we want to make sure that our world stays in a moral way, instead of, you know, and, you know, we don't want to do anything that might be seen as evil.
Well, like I said to some of my people in my community who seem to want things to just stand still where they are or where they were, things are moving on. Life is moving on. Technology is moving on. New opportunities, new ideas are taking shape. And this is something that we cannot stop. We have no control over it. So we must either, it's not an either, we have to learn how to use it. We have to learn how to be a part of this new technology, because if you don't, you're going to find that you won't have access to your money. You know, people are going to tell you, well, the only way you can get paid is for this money to go directly to an account, and the only way you can get it out the account is if you have some sort of chip under your skin to have access to the account. And you know, unless somebody says, well, older people won't have to subject themselves to that, we're going to have to get on that train and ride that train.
Well, let me ask you, Dee, this question. And, you know, one of the technologies that we heard come up about 10 years ago and that it seemed to be controlled because people thought it was a little bit, it was a little going over the top, was cloning. You know, at one point, cloning was something that people were debating a lot, and it's kind of gotten a lot less press lately because when it first got rolled out, people just were not prepared for it. So there are things that come out sometimes that people don't embrace.
Well, now, James, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, good. You know, I know I made the statement earlier about being able to adapt, but here's where the problem comes in. All right, we have to be careful about the things that we accept. When it comes down to, I like to use the metaphor of the Pandora's box. You know, it's nice and it's pretty and it's shiny and it looks something that people be in awe of it. But then once you open the door, there's no turning back. When you spoke about using the chips under the skin, all right. Now let's go back to the live streaming. First of all, you know, there's always somebody, and even when it comes down to the chip under the skin, there are always going to be somebody, some special interest that's going to abuse technology. You can pretty much count on it. Now, I want to go back to a couple of movies, one of which is The Eraser, where the terrorists use live streaming to scare everybody about the nuclear bomb that's going to be used. There's another movie called Saw, where the killer kidnaps people and scares a nation into paying a ransom because he's torturing the person on live streaming. So, you know, so when it comes down to the computer chip, we've always heard about how that is going to be implemented into society. And so my point is that, you know, even where we are now with North Korea and the Trump administration, look, we could have avoided all of this had we been paying attention to the probabilities. And that's my strong point. The probabilities are there for us to use common sense about some things that are just not meant to be had. One last point real quick. All right, if you remember the movie Jurassic Park, when the guy engineered a frog shell and took the mosquito blood that had dinosaur cells from way back, and then he put them together to make current-day dinosaurs. And one of the scientists said, just because you can do it don't mean that you should. And that's my point. Everything is available, but that doesn't mean that we should tap into everything like the cloning. Yes, it may be under the radar now, but you can rest assured that special interests somewhere are still taking advantage of that technology.
Well, I want to just go on record as telling you guys about something that, you know, I guess everybody has some conspiracy theory inside of them. And so when we talk about technology and all the information that people want to know about you, I have to share with you that a long time ago when putting being a organ donor was first introduced, years and years ago there was a movie where a man was being chased around the country because this sickly old rich man was in need of his blood. And he wanted to capture this man and put him in a cage so that he could continuously get his blood and stay alive. Well, I have always been concerned about being an organ donor and the technology getting around the country who will may be able to say you're a perfect match for this person who don't want to leave or transition, and you didn't just happen to have an accident and your heart gets taken all the way to Washington, or the state of Washington, because there's a man there on a computer screen that was alerted to the fact that a perfect match in Orlando just signed an organ donor card. You know, so I know that it's far-fetched, but that's one of those conspiracy things that popped in my head that has kind of kept me from doing organ donor thing myself. George, what are your thoughts? Do you have any fears related to technology that keeps you from really wanting to see those things come to light?
Well, I used to think the way that you think, but then, too, I've been watching television to see all the good things that happen with people that are donors. And this past year, I put on my license that I'm willing to be a donor. That's a big, huge step. But, you know, there's good and bad in everything, but hopefully that if anything happened to me and if I can pass it on to a person to give them life when I'm gone, so be it. But I used to think the way that you did, but once I saw looking at all the good that is out there and what it can take place, I changed my mind.
All right. Regina, what are your thoughts about this? Is there any technology out there that you're fearful of or that gives you pause?
The technology that possibly has people looking into your bedroom or your room, if you have the laptop in your room, or I think I heard someplace, I've been out of the loop for a few weeks, but I think I heard someplace before then that Sony televisions, they found out that they were looking into homes. I've seen where a father walks into his child's bedroom and he heard a man from down the block talking to his child on their baby monitor because he picked up on that frequency. That type of stuff makes me leery and it makes me nervous. People invading your very personal private space makes me very nervous.
And I can truly understand that when they were talking about how baby monitors, in some sense, it could be used to watch people's children outside of their home by just driving by, and you know that's a you know, here you have a device that is really helps to give the parent comfort, but then again, could be used to identify homes that have children so that that predator could invade those homes and possibly snatch people's children. Dee, are there any technology that that you find yourself leery of that gives you pause?
Well, I don't know now, hearing Regina speak about the laptop, you know, most all laptops now got a camera on it, and the camera is supposed to be for your use. But in our home, we have security cameras, and I got to tell you, and the camera is operated via the internet, where we can kind of monitor our kids, you know, by way of, by using our cell phone. They can be upstairs and we can be downstairs, and we use the cameras via the internet and to see, you know, if they're behaving and things of that sort. But I got to tell you now, I've heard this damn thing moving by itself. And my wife and I, we'll look at each other, and we know that we're not moving it. So that gives me reason to be a little concerned now that we're talking about it. So that's my quick answer, James.
Yeah, you know, I'm a little slow, and I'm looking at now getting me some cameras and an alarm system and getting the doorbell thing that Audrey spoke about. And so I'm trying to think of ways to quickly get up to date. But it does give you some issues related to your own personal privacy about what it is you want people to see or not see, or where do you strategically put these things so that you have security but you still maintain privacy. And so technology is giving us a lot of different options, but it does, you know, kind of give us some things we need to think about. Let's go to break, and we'll come back and continue our conversation.
Come on. Oh,
This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. Guys, I want to just tell you a little story, something that happened a couple of days ago that I find to be very funny. And it kind of goes along with what D says when somebody is stuck in being in the 1970s. And I want you to think real hard about what kind of experiences you had with people who just don't want to move to the next level. I had a friend of mine, and I didn't pick him up the other day to do some handyman work at my house. And so after he had finished, I needed to stop and get some gas, and I wanted to, get a sandwich. So I wanted to stop at a place where I could get a sandwich and get some gas at the same time. And we have this, I hope I say it right. It's Wahoo, I think it is. And at Wahoo, you have to put your sandwich order in through a computer. So I told him I was going to stop at Wahoo, and I would buy both of us a sandwich and something to drink. And he said, no, you can't stop there. He says, because I don't like computers, man. I went up there and tried to get a sandwich. I told the lady, just give me a ham and cheese sandwich. And she said I couldn't get one unless I put it through the computer. And so he was so just confused and just didn't want to deal with no computer. We ended up going to 7-Eleven and getting a couple of hot dogs and drinks and gas because he just did not want to step up to that computer and put into that computer what kind of sandwich he wanted. He just wanted that human conversation and connection. George, have you ever experienced people who just don't want to deal with computers or go to the next level in terms of the technology and where we're going related with computers and technology?
Well, yeah, I was like that at first when about banking with your check, taking a picture of it. But now, to me, as a convenience, that's the only way to do it. And like Audrey had indicated, that sometimes it takes an adjustment to change. Some people can change right away and go to from step A to step B. I'm a little leery, so I kind of resist a little bit. But once I see the goodness of it, then I'm on board. So I've been there.
And you're so right, Joyce. There are times when I wish I had a check and I could just take a picture of that check and sign it on the back and deposit it through my computer. But somebody may have given me a lot of cash, and then that requires that I have to go to the bank to deposit that cash, because if I keep it in my pocket, I'm going to spend it. But you're so right. Sometimes you wish you had a check so you could deposit it right away, and that is definitely really convenient. Regina, what are your thoughts about people who are not ready to go to the next level and any experiences you may have had where people just were not ready to deal with computers?
Well, my most eye-opening experience
is when I was working with voter registration and getting people to vote and finding out that a lot of my constituents weren't going to the polls to vote because they thought that the voting machines had cameras and if they had warrants against them. So once that rumor circulated, which it circulated through our hood really quickly, it was hard to get people to go out and vote because most of the warrants are like maybe outstanding traffic tickets or child support, and so they wouldn't go. Now, it's hard to change a person's mind.
Regina, let me ask you this question. We know that most schools now have cameras throughout the hallways, and throughout areas where they want to make sure students are safe. But do you foresee cameras eventually being in the classroom?
They are in the classroom. One of my friends who works at an alternative school is every other day I'm hearing her woes about how the administration sits in their office and watch the classroom, and they'll even turn on the microphone and yell in the classroom, so-and-so, sit down, so-and-so, sit down. And that's like, what do you call it when you micromanaging a classroom? It can be good, but it's just really interesting. And this week we're testing. All of our tests are on computer. All of them. Every test, every child, grades 3 through 5, testing, and they're testing on the computer.
Yeah, it is definitely different. And so you get some of that immediate feedback from the testing because it can be so.
No.
No?
Uh-uh. Immediate feedback? No, it still has to be sent off, and we still will not get the results until the midsummer.
You're not getting it faster than the paper?
Uh-uh. No. I think eventually that's what will happen. But this is the first year that everything has been done on computer. So I guess they've got to move to that next level.
Well, you know, the reason why I say that it was immediately is because I do remember taking my first online class, and all the test scores were immediate. And I found that so scary. And they test you in many different ways. There were tests that you could take over, and there were tests that you had to complete within an hour. And so each of those, no matter which ones you took, you would have the scores back immediately. But you had different tests given to you in different fashion.
James, my last online test. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Regina.
My last online class that I had a couple of months ago, even that class I didn't get my feedback immediately. We did everything via computer, but our teacher had to read our things, and she would give us, give us feedback, but that still wasn't immediate.
You know, I guess if the tests are such that there has to be some reading done, I think for the most part, my tests were multiple choice, so that way there could be immediate feedback.
Okay.
Dee, let me ask you, are there any, you talked about your cousin or uncle, in terms of fears or things that you were a little slow to grasp hold of, or other things that you've seen other people a little slow to grasp hold of. How do you, what were some of those things that might have been taking place?
In my own case, James, I'm a little bit adventurous and daring. My past history kind of proves that. But when it comes down to computers, computers are a trend, and not to be up with the trend, one have a tendency to be left behind. And let me speak about two trends that are going on right now as we're talking about changing and the fear of change. One of the trends is cyber warfare. And as we are talking about the trend of having all our personal business being done by computers, we have to be knowledgeable and be mindful of the probability of cyber warfare, because we're getting early warnings now. We're getting early warnings of cyber warfare and hacking. And let me speak real quickly about hacking. I had a computer geek friend that used to be used to work in New York. And here in the South, he opened up his own computer business. And he let me know about the popularity of hacking. He went on to inform me about how they have hacking conventions. And the winner of these conventions, if you can hack into certain secure sites and things of that sort, they give away Ferraris, they give away BMWs, and they give away high-ticket items, all right? Now, the other thing and trend I want to speak of real quickly is artificial intelligence. That's the new trend. That's where we're headed, and we're here. Because, you know, we all see and hear of the automobile that can drive itself. So that's a new thing that you got to get used to, because that's where we're headed. And so that's the new trend. So, yeah, we got to catch up if we're going to be a part of.
But, you know, you brought that up, and I'm going to tell you this. I'm not sure how expensive those cars are going to be. And, of course, I wouldn't be able to fit in a car. I'd need a US SUV. But I can tell you for a fact that if I did not have to drive and physically be mentally alert to go places in a car, I'd be all over America. So if I could get a car that could drive me anywhere I wanted to go, I would be definitely on board with that one. I don't know. The only thing that keeps me from not driving around the country is the fact that I just don't like driving that much. You know, when I have to do it, I'll do it. But I am just not a big person who gets in a car and can drive for 14 or 15 hours. But if I had a car that would drive me around, I would definitely be on board with that. George, what are your thoughts about self-driving cars? Is that something you're looking forward to?
Well, not really, but I would, now that I'm retired, I would prefer riding in a car more so than an airplane. My flight was 5 hours stuck up in an airplane with people that I did not know and under control of someone's faith that he would get me to point A to point B. Now that I'm retired, and you may want to consider that as well, is that, hey, you got all the time in the world. This country is beautiful. On land to see it and take the scenic route, why not? So, but as far as self-driven cars, it is being tested here in Arizona. They've had a couple of wrecks already. So I don't know whether or not I'm for that. Do I trust a vehicle taking me with nobody in it but me to point A to point B? I don't know, James. I'm not ready for that. So I think my next step is where we're going, my husband and I, would probably be in a smaller city where, you know, they're a little bit back in time, so I can still take it easy and slow at my own pace. That's what I'm looking for.
I hear you. I hear you. Regina, what about you? Are you ready for a self-driving car?
Nope. I'm scared. What we just talking the other night about what was that thing you were saying? Getting in some kind of hovercraft and going to the airport and no,
it's the drone that come pick you up. You call in, you make an appointment, and they send a car to you, and then a drone will come and attach itself to the car and take you wherever you need to go.
That's it. And
I'm not ready for that.
They also showed today, I saw on television, a drone that is large enough for a man to sit in it, and he can fly itself around a lake and around land, and they haven't set a price to it, but you can ride in it like you are part of the drone that's large enough for a man to fit in it. So there's some marvelous things coming on over the horizon. I'm not ready to be a part of a drone, but the self-driving car, I'm ready for it. I'm ready to put that cruise or whatever in place or and just sit back and let it take me wherever I want to go.
I think now, it's still in the experimental stage.
Let me ask you, D, in terms of your truck, I mean, I know that it can't take the packages out of the truck, but what about a self-driving truck where, you know, your whole schedule would be programmed into the truck and all you would really be responsible for is delivering the packages?
Now, James, you raise a good point there because Amazon is looking to get into the delivery business, and they say that they want to use drones to deliver the packages to your house. I think that would be a little bit impersonal, not actually as friendly as a person, but that's what Amazon said he wants to do. Now, also, Donald Trump's labor advisor, the first guy that he has, his labor advisor, he's the guy that owns all the Hardee's hamburgers and Burger King's and all of that. And he spoke briefly about how he would be in favor of having robots in all his stores to do the work because the robots, they never call in sick. They don't need lunch breaks. And they don't have to be out for maternity leave and things like that. So is that something of the future? It's probable. You know, I'm high on probabilities. But.
Well, you know, I've seen a few that already have robots that are doing pizzas. So now if you can get a robot to spin dough and put tomato sauce and cheese and pepperoni, I don't know. People might be in trouble when it comes to these restaurant jobs.
Exactly.
All right, guys, we're going to take another break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to have our final word.
And made each one come true. Something no one else had ever found a way to do. I've kept the memories one by one since you took me in. I know I'll never love this way again.
Joyce, what is your final thought for today?
Well, my final thought is that technology is changing, and we need to get on board, all the people that are not tech-savvy in the whole bit, but this is the way of the world. This is our new generation, so we just have to move forward and have an open mind and go with it, go with the flow.
All right. Regina, your final thought for today?
We just have to jump on this train because it's already out of the station, and learn how to drive it like the other experts along.
All right. Well, guys, I want to let you know I continue to appreciate your support and thank you for all that you bring to the table when we have our shows. You know that we are on 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Saturday and Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. We're here so that your voice can be heard loud and clear, and we look forward to being the vehicle that you use to make sure you make the statements that will go further than just a few blocks. Take care, everybody, and we will see you tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.